I know you like me, and this room is a love fest, I know that. But you have no choice but to vote for me, because your 401ks, down the tubes, everything's going to be down the tubes. So whether you love me or hate me, you got to vote for me.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Ah, that's the America I know. Whether you love me or hate me, you got to vote for me. I remember as a little kid in school, first learning about the flag, democracy, civics, patriotism. I thought if we could just one day have a president who says you're screwed if you don't vote for me, I said that would be my guy. Joe Walsh and I used to work together. Joe Walsh and I worked together when in my short stint on WIND as a nationally syndicated radio talk show host for Salem. And in addition to that, of course, former congressman. He wrote an amazing New York Times op-ed this week. And he has consistently, by way of Twitter and other places, been the only hardcore Republican that has not only called out Trump, but pointed out how ridiculous this whole experience has been and what a fraud it is that he's good for America. He also tweeted out, Joe Walsh did this week, an apology for any part he may have had in electing Trump. I think that's fairly amazing. So I asked him to be on the show. Good morning, Joe.
Hey, Steve, it's good to be with you, my friend.
Nice to talk to you. How much hate mail have you gotten in the last 2 days?
A bunch. Actually, a lot. Yeah. It's been pretty interesting. But we live in crazy times, don't we?
We really do. Here's the thing that's different. And you point this out in the New York Times op-ed piece, which I really encourage everybody to read from a couple of days ago. We live in a time now that is so vastly different from the time in the past where we could disagree, sometimes not so respectfully, but we could disagree. But we recognize that both of us had a viewpoint that was valid and we were entitled to have. People don't do that anymore.
No, and you know, Steve, you and I have known each other a while. It's gone on for years, but like with everything with Trump, it's gotten worse. So now you have a point where I'm still the crazy Tea Party conservative I've always been, but because I can't stand Trump, I'm called, a socialist, a liberal, or whatever. So everybody's part of their tribe, they're part of their team, and the ideas, I guess, no longer matter.
In the New York Times piece, you point out that Mr. Trump is the furthest thing from a conservative. Just give me a couple of conservative points that conservatives might recognize, but how far away he is from that core value system.
I guess the two that jump out are, I mean, he's always been the king of debt. So the debt and the deficits have grown faster in his administration than under Obama, and nobody seems to care, and we all screamed about it when the debt and the deficit went up with Obama. And then the other thing, Steve, is, as you led with, if you don't vote, you have no choice but to vote for me. He actually, I think, believes he's a king and or a tyrant.
Right.
He has no understanding of or respect for the rule of law. As a conservative, I mean, that's like at the top, and again, my fellow conservatives stay silent with the fact that we have a guy who would love and does act like he's a king.
Yeah, you know, you stay in touch with those you served with and those you know in Washington. What are they telling you off the record? I mean, are they with him?
Steve, this won't surprise you. Look, every one of my former colleagues privately agrees with every single word I put in the New York Times. They know he's a despicable human being. They want him gone. They want him removed from the scene. They can't say that publicly. They're afraid of the tweet from Trump. They're afraid of a primary challenge, and they just want to get reelected. So that keeps them quiet.
You served in Congress. I've asked Dick Durbin this as well. What's so great about the job that you're able to get up in the morning and not look in the mirror because you've sold out this hard for something that's so bad for America?
Yeah, I think, and you and I think have actually talked about this. I think Republican or Democrat, they love the power and the fame. You feel really important. And Steve, that's terribly intoxicating. And I think for a lot of them, they don't want to give that up. I don't know how, though. I mean, so many of these, and you see it in my business, conservative talk radio. If you don't sing his praises, your ratings could tank. So a lot of people in my business say that this guy walks on water every day because they want to keep their show. It's like people have just made a bargain with the devil.
You've taken a step out here in a pretty risky area. I know you're okay financially, but nobody wants to get fired, because I know that because I got fired a lot. what sort of heat are you taking from your own company that you can talk about?
I think it's, and if I'm trying to be careful with what I'm saying, that's unusual for Joe Welch. I think it's safe to say, Steve, that, yeah, the company I work for would love it if we all supported Trump. I can't do that. So there's constant tension. Every day is difficult. But to me, it's just crazy. You and I are in the business of, we get paid to say what we believe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you then just can't say the truth. So the truth is, I think Trump's a despicable human being. He has no shred of decency. He's incapable of any empathy. He doesn't deserve to be president. So I believe that. So I say that if I lose my job, I want to go work for Steve Cochran.
I don't see that happening. I'm going to have to talk to some people. Joe, say hi to G. G, say hi to Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, G.
My favorite part of the op-ed was you wrote, Mr. Trump has taken the legitimate differences that Americans have on policy and turned them into personal division. He's caused me to change my tone and to reflect upon where I went over the line and to focus on policy differences moving forward. Can you take us back to why you got caught up in that changing of the tone and that tribalism that has swept America? And then also, what broke you out of it? Because it sounds like there's so many people in America that need to be broken out of it as well.
Thank God for Trump. Gee, he woke me up. Well, look, most people think of Joe Welch as a bomb thrower, a flamethrower. And look, America was divided before Trump. I think that's why we got this jerk. He's a product of the divide. And when I was in Congress in the last 7 or 8 years, I've been at the front of that fight. And oftentimes in the fight, because I'm so outspoken, I said stupid things. I got personal with my opponents. I went after Obama, sometimes too personally. I said things I regret and I apologize for. And I guess it's the election of Trump and watching how ugly his behavior is. It really forced me to look at myself and say, oh, my God, is that like the worst picture of Joe Welch? And it's really made me reflect, and to the point now where I have no interest in personal attacks. Everything I do, I want to just focus on policy, because I can't stand what this guy does. It's all personal attacks with him.
A lot of people have talked about, well, it's up to the American people to vote him out, and it is. And it's up to people to have the care in their hearts and their fannies to get off their couch or their chair and go and vote. I don't believe we have that kind of time. I don't believe we can wait for another 14 months, and I don't see this guy resigning, but I certainly think that it's time to stand up the way you've stood up. So I'm not going to be the first one to say this. Why don't you run?
And again, I don't pull my punches. Yeah, I don't try to be cute, Steve Cochran, and you're a good friend. I haven't ruled it out. The point of that New York Times piece was, what the hell, Republicans? Wake up. I'm stunned that nobody in the Republican Party has challenged him. Because, Steve, again, gee, they all believe what I said in that piece.
Absolutely.
And the fact that none of them have the, can I say bowling balls on the air?
Yeah, of course.
None of
14
them
pounders.
Have the bowling ball. None of them have the bowling balls to stand up against a man who's unfit. So whether it's me or somebody has to stand up and look this coward in the eyes, because that's what he is. He's an absolute coward, and say, enough, enough of your indecency, sir. Leave.
It's not a Republican thing. It's not a Democrat thing. It's an American thing. And the president has to be the president, not someone who did it because he didn't have a guarantee his reality show would continue.
Yeah.
Listen, it's a remarkable piece, and I really respect you for writing it and saying it. And I have a sense of the kind of heat you've been taking, so I wish you well. And we could use somebody around here to tidy up, so call
G,
me anytime.
I'll work for you, G. Forget about Steve. I'll work for G.
You're very kind. I'm really, I have to tell you, kudos to you. There's nothing, unbelievable that you were able to talk about being to apologize and to actually be sorry, something that politicians never really own up to. So that was just unbelievably refreshing.
Yeah, it's amazing. So we'll stay in touch, Joe, but you're always welcome here.
Love you, Steve Cochran.
All right, man. Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
We'll be back. I mean, he and I have disagreed on a billion things. But when I read that this week, it was like, come on.
It's hard for anyone to admit that they were wrong and for
to step
such
up
a
like
public
that?
Stage yeah. to be able to do that. That's very impressive.